You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, the international, covering down on all of it, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Tuesday. Tuesday, that's Boomer's second least favorite day of the week.
Second least favorite day of the week.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Good. I'll tell you what, I've been up yonder in the Fort Payne area today.
All right. Wow.
Golly, that's some beautiful country up there.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Glad to be in a state like Alabama, just saying. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you today. So 3:30 today, Steve Thornton, he's been on the show before. He's the guy organizing the efforts to save the Saturn rocket at the I-65 Alabama-Tennessee line. So, yeah, Save the Rocket is going to be a discussion we have with Steve Thornton. Give us an update. What's happening? Are they going to get it through the legislature? Because there is a bill about this. And how does it work that we actually have money in the budget now? Oh, well, we'll talk about all of that with Steve Thornton at 3:30. And then at 4 o'clock, I told you yesterday, and it's confirmed, he's coming on. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville will be on the show with us at 4 p.m. today, giving us an update on several things happening, not the least of which is the fact that there's been a pretty serious death threat against him resulting in someone being arrested. He's still blocking generals and admirals from being promoted in order to push back against the DOD's abortion policies. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad that we have somebody willing to go up there and take a hard stand and take the heat for it. So all that to say, 4 o'clock today, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville here on the show. We'll talk to him then. And then I got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will. We're going to run today's show on. Number one, coming out the gate, we're going international. We're going to talk about China rising. Why does it matter to us? Well, it matters a lot. Did we just pass a law saying China can't buy property in Alabama? I'll tell you about that. But then what also happened in the Strait of Taiwan with Navy ships running a little too close to each other? And then, oh, by the way, what is General Jack Keane, one of the most respected members of the military communications community, have to say about the way that the Biden administration is handling China? I'm going to talk about all of it and try to paint a picture as to why it matters. So we'll talk about that. Number one on the Triple Dipper, China rising. Number two, coming back home, we're going to dump right into that conversation with Steve Thornton and lay out the facts and figures. Save the rocket. Are we going to be able to save the rocket? You know, that's one of the only Saturn 1Bs in existence right now, sitting up there. It's been there for, what, 40 years? It classifies, in my opinion, as a monument under Alabama's Monument Protections Law. But all that to say, there's talk of it coming down, but there's been a whole lot of movement here of late to try and keep it up. So we're going to talk about what it takes to save the rocket right here on the border of Alabama and Tennessee. And then number three, I'm calling this section for the show today, Pushing Back. Pushing Back. I love it when I see liberal woke policies and what conservatives will do to push back and take back the narrative and take the fight to them. That's going to be number three on the Triple Dipper. And I got some stories that will warm the cockles of your heart. So y'all stay tuned for that. All right. Let me jump over here to my opening comments, my monologue. And if you're tracking the news right now, you may have heard that our state legislature is actually ending its legislative session today. As I speak, questions still remain on whether or not certain key pieces of legislation are going to make it to the final vote. I mean, those are questions that need to be answered affirmatively and with deliberateness. They should be. And it is the people's house, by the way. Down there on Goat Hill in Montgomery, it's the people's house. Transparency and access are important to our democratic way of life, and it should not be a mystery what bills are going to make it to the legislative calendar every single day. We all know that the men and women of the State House and Senate, they're the ones who were elected to their respective positions. That's true. But they are the linchpin for our representative government. Representative government. Representative government. And by that I mean that the elected officials are supposed to reflect the values of their districts. And they do so as the duly elected representative of their folks back home. So at all levels of governance in this country, the elected officials placed in office, they're designed to be somewhat representative of their constituencies. To be sure, some of our elected officials are by design intended to be representative, hence the name House of Representatives. But I'm referring here to the synonymous use of the word by pointing out that our elected officials, well, they should actually look, act, feel, sound, behave, and believe in a like manner to those who place them in their official positions. I mean, to some extent, a body of elected officials should be reflective of their body of constituents, like a mirror to the community, if you will. A classic example is our own Alabama state legislature. This group of 35 state senators and 105 state representatives, they were elected from within their communities as the official representation of those communities to affect state-level policymaking and the creation of laws. They are imbued with the trust and the well wishes of the majority of their back-home voters. The role of these two bodies of governance should then, for the most part, be a transference of the public will from their home districts into the state house in Montgomery, right? I mean, to be sure, for some of them, that is true. Unfortunately, for some, it is not. I recently heard one of my former colleagues reflecting on the time that he and I had served together in the Alabama State Senate. His comment was rather eye-opening. He said, quote, "Today's Alabama legislature appears to act far more transactional and much less philosophical." In essence, what he was implying was that, just with a few words, is that what many are seeing with some level of consistency, that the Alabama House and Senate seem to be driven a lot more these days by matters that involve what can you give and take, how do you get to your desired end, as opposed to entering into the debate from a principled position that guides the debate from the very beginning. I mean, if all they're doing is voting in a way that helps, quote, make a deal or keep the trains running or satisfies all parties, well, then it means that principles are not the driving force. Public policy should be something that is just as much a matter of the heart as it is of the mind. When a politician leaves out the heart and goes only for what makes sense to him or her at the moment, then all you get is transactional politics. Well, in truth, there are times when the perfect can become the enemy of the good. Sometimes, if it can be done without sacrificing core principles, then reasonable concessions can be made to obtain votes. But if the starting point for any debate is just to find consensus, well, then no one's striving for their principles. They're just going along to get along, trying to find the path of least resistance. I've told you before, Margaret Thatcher, one of my favorites. Margaret Thatcher, when she was Prime Minister of Great Britain, she said, quote, "True consensus is the absence of leadership," meaning that sometimes principles must prevail over politics. Sometimes there needs to be a voice in the mix that says, "I see a better way, a harder way, a way that is based on principle." This legislative session they're finishing up today, it's been a mixed bag. Alabama's largely a conservative state, given the polling of its populace, with a motto that emblazes itself across the state house doorway down in Montgomery. It says in Latin, "Audimus jura nostre defendere," or "We dare defend our rights." The people of this great state are known as being fiercely independent, desirous of low taxes, rejecting of government overreach, inclined to matters of faith and family and traditional values. Well, that may not describe every member of Alabama society, but it does describe the majority. Issues like school choice and limited government and traditional family values are often seen as the intent of most Alabama voters when they select their officials at the polls. And one look at all the campaign ads that the politicians run, you're going to see those same issues touted by the candidates when asking for the votes of the people. So how does it come to be then that, despite those things being true, that in this 2023 regular legislative session, the prime focus for budgets appeared to be spending more and applauding themselves when the record-setting budgets grew government? Tax cuts did happen. We had some this year, and rightfully so. But even then, they were curtailed at the end because there was fear that surpluses wouldn't be here forever without ever stating the obvious thing that perhaps government should just tighten its belt once in a while. Why is it, too, that all the school choice bills died without seeing the light of day? Why is keeping pornography from kids or keeping critical race theory out of schools somehow controversial in a Republican supermajority? I mean, to be honest, there were some very conservative high points mixed into the overall session. But the leadership in the House and the Senate, they never once designed and promoted an actual agenda, one that reflected the conservatism of the vast majority of the state. We need conservative principles in our state governance. In fact, we are known as a conservative state, and therefore consistent application of those principles should be commonplace. I mean, to do so, we need to see a return to the philosophical underpinnings that once legislated by means of an outspoken agenda, a plan, an actual slate of bills that matches the desires of the constituency back home that put Republicans in a supermajority in office. I mean, it's really not too much to ask for a return to the philosophical approach to governments and less on the transactional. It just takes making your principles the bedrock of any debate. We are a conservative state. We are. We are a conservative state. And if that is true, then our legislature should be a mirror to who we are as a state. The state house has to be more reflective of the state itself. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, they're adjourning today. They're adjourning what's called sine die. Sine die, Latin phrase for basically it is complete or it is finished. And they are adjourning sine die and heading out the door, having completed another regular session of the Alabama State Legislature, which means that tomorrow the state is much safer. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it on in. Call it on in if you want to. Stay on the topic with us if you can. We already got a bunch of texts. Let me jump over here and see what I got. Just a few to pick from. Jenny from Decatur. She says, I don't understand this. Can you explain this, please? And it's a clip from an article. It says the Alabama House voted in favor of school choice expansion on Wednesday, fulfilling the governor's promise to prioritize education. Well, I can explain it. I knew they'd do this, Jenny. What's happening is they did as little on school choice as they possibly could and then played it up like they did a lot. That's what's happening. So they did pass a small expansion to what's known as the Alabama Accountability Act that allows some scholarships for kids in failing schools. And they did allow some modification of the Alabama Charter School Bill. But the actual growth of school choice didn't happen. So I knew they'd do it. They'd taken the victory lap. Hey, look what we did. School choice, that's us. Well, guess what? If you look around, tell me how many of the national school choice groups are applauding what Alabama did this year. You hear those crickets? Do you hear those cricket sound effects? Somewhere in there, we got a cricket sound effect. And that's just there it is. That's what you're hearing. So, yeah, school choice was not that much. What else we got? Jeremy from Huntsville. He says, clearly the fee for taking down a monument, talking about the rocket, should be more like $20 million instead of $20,000. Maybe folks then think twice about mentioning the removal of a monument. Agreed. Wade from Huntsville. Elected officials should only be paid 10% more than the median family income of the people they represent. Well, Wade, I got to be honest with you, man, I disagree. You can't. No, you can't. You get what you pay for. And first of all, let me say this. The Alabama legislature, when I was there, we cut our pay. And we cut our pay. In fact, I was the one in the Senate that went to the podium to argue on behalf of cutting our pay. It was my friend Brian Taylor's bill. But I wound up being the one that carried the argument for him because he had to be out that day. And so I was one of the only legislators who refused to take the pay raise the Democrats had given themselves before we got there in 2010. And we did. We cut our pay, and we cut our pay to, not 10% above the median income, we cut our pay to the median income in Alabama. So just so you know, we did cut our pay. But what I'm saying is this. You cannot expect somebody to go to Congress and get paid the median income of their state. First of all, it'd be lopsided. Every state's different. Secondly, you've already got congressmen who have to support their household here and have a place to live up there, and some of them are sleeping in their offices. I mean, everybody thinks they're getting rich and they've got this Cadillac retirement program. They don't. Men and women in Congress, I don't know how some of them got rich being on the public dime, Joe Biden, but I do know this. The vast majority of them are serving and they're making ends meet. And it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, and it's not supposed to be. So there you go, Wade. Mike from Eva. Sad as it is, he says, we have the legislators we voted for, time to vote more conservative. I agree. If you don't like who you got, if you don't think you got conservative legislation this year, take a look at who's in office, and next time they smile and put a picture of themselves up on a billboard toting a rifle and saying they're for the Second Amendment, remember, you might want to know what else they stand for or don't stand for. Tony from Piedmont says, with regards to the monologues, says, Roger that, and that's the same for our U.S. representatives in terms of being on principle, and I would agree. And then he apparently does not care for Mike Rogers and Robert Aderholt, so he makes that clear. John from Huntsville texted in and says, Phil, nice monologue. Did you hear that the Russians caused an important dam to explode? Thank you, John, for always getting off topic. But I did. We just saw that on the screen a minute ago, breaking news. And I kid John, but he did point out a story there. It's breaking. Boomer and I just saw it a moment ago. Apparently in the Kherson region of Ukraine on the Dnipro River, I believe. Did I say that right? The Dnipro River, boom? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something happened. Russians blew up a dam, I guess, and over 1,000 homes are now flooded. Unbelievable the amount of destruction going on right now. What else we got here? Where am I going? I've got something on here from...
Brandy, go to Brandy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see it right now. I just realized what I was looking at. Okay, Brandy... from Athens. Yeah, happy Monday from South Carolina. Out of town, couldn't miss you and Boomer. Brandy, thank you so much for taking us on vacation. That's the second or third person this week who's taking us on vacation. We appreciate you. All right, listen, we got a major show laid on for you. We're going to start off with an international, right? We're going to go to China Rising. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. I'm going to spend some time and also play some clips from recent audio interview of General Jack Keane and sort of run down what's happening. Because that's our near-peer adversary in the world. That's the nation that is trying to usurp the opportunity to be the world superpower. And we're abdicating that right now under the Biden administration in many ways. And it's not by a little bit. For some reason, I mean, depending on who you read, CNN is talking about how the Biden administration is still currently maintaining good open dialogue and yada, yada, yada. No, they're not. They're pandering. They're pandering. They're trying to suck up. In the meantime, China's flying balloons over our territory and running their warships right across the wake of our warships, and it's a dicey situation. We'll talk about all that. And then we're going to get into saving the rocket, so we're going to come right back home and talk to a guy named Steve Thornton, who has been in the mix doing what he can to work on saving the rocket. That's a historic piece of equipment, y'all. It has been standing up there for 40 years, but it is one of only three that remain in existence from the early days of the space program. It's real, and it's standing there. And it also testifies to the world as you come down I-65 and cross that Tennessee line into the Alabama the Beautiful, that you're looking at the state that is not just, you know, filled with good people and comfortable and, you know, and a place to move and raise your kids. It's also the place where we pretty much help put the man on the moon. You know what I'm saying? All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.